In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It must have been more than deafening on Good Friday at 3 o'clock. Words cannot describe or maybe even adequately capture what took place. But again, we hear from Matthew's gospel, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. We direct our attention to that miracle of the splitting rocks. We don't know how those rocks were split, but we know that they certainly were not hit with anything like a hammer, or it was not a group of people going around and striking them. If you remember the old King James Version of the Bible, it uses a word that is not as familiar maybe to our vocabulary, but maybe captures better what happened. It says the rocks were rent. The word rent means to split or to tear. It suggests such an inner stress upon the rocks that they were literally ripped in half. There was certainly much reason for creation itself, as we heard, to be under such stress. And we know that what caused it was God Himself. The words, "the rocks were rent," can be seen as a fulfillment of what Luke speaks of in chapter 19. He takes us to the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, where at that time Jesus was being praised, but the Pharisees were secretly plotting and planning Christ's death. They can't take what is going on, and so they cry out and they say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Christ responds by saying, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." That's what takes place on Good Friday. Think of it. Rocks splitting apart one after the other, some at the same time. The situation was so terrible, so unjust, so demeaning, so disgraceful, so wrong, that praise of Jesus for what He was accomplishing for the salvation of the world was so lacking that to compensate for it, as Christ had said, the very rocks themselves cried out in testimony. We may be inclined to point the finger at the disciples because they were not there to praise Him or to testify to Him. They had pretty well deserted Jesus at the time of His arrest. As we heard, Peter followed Him into the courtyard of the high priest, but then when confronted, promptly denied Him 3 times rather than proclaim Him. We know that John and Mary were at the crucifixion, but other than that, where were the others to testify to what Christ was doing on the cross? Maybe we can point the finger at the Pharisees. For along with the others, they are the ones who had planned Jesus' death. They are the ones who had put on that mock trial. They are the ones who had turned the Palm Sunday crowds from chanting Hosanna to chanting now crucify him. Or maybe we point the finger at the Romans, who gleefully seem to relish in the opportunity to torture and crucify yet another person. Pilate himself ordering some of it and then finally washing his hands of the whole deal. None of them gave testimony to what was taking place. None of them proclaimed Christ, leaving only God's creation itself to cry out in brokenness and praise. But of all those whom we could point the finger at, we see that Scripture points it and includes us in it as well. St. Paul says, "For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." Over and over again it is that we hear about our sins. The Jewish leaders' sins were terrible, yes. The Romans, their sins were terrible. Peter's denial of Jesus, yes, it was terrible. But what about our sins? John says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We had a good conversation about it in Bible class this past Sunday. What is sin? Sin involves everything that we actually do that is against God's law. But it is even more than that. Even if we perfectly somehow did not commit any actual sin, we are born into it. Original sin, inherited from Adam, clings to our flesh and separates us from our God. And so we see there on Calvary's cross, Isaiah was right. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That Christ Jesus suffered and died for our sins is the truth that it is the very heart of the gospel. The good news is that the Heavenly Father, in view of the blood shed on Calvary for our sins, graciously offers to the world of sinners his forgiveness and salvation. Besides that, he even pours out his Holy Spirit, who works through the Word and the sacraments to create saving faith in us, through which we receive all that is freely offered in Christ Jesus. The splitting of the rocks was a miraculous sign that God is powerful and almighty, and not even the sin and the silence of his people could keep creation from proclaiming what God had done. The rending asunder of the rocks signaled that God was in control of the situation, that he could have stopped the crucifixion if he wanted. But out of love for you and me, he testified to what Christ was doing, suffering and dying for our sins. That same God of power and love is in control of your life. And His promise to you is to bless and protect you, who are His own, who belong to Him through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith worked in us by His Holy Spirit. May we be boldened, like the rocks themselves, to bear testimony to Christ Jesus and all He has done. In His name, amen.